The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When your life has you feeling stuck, you need to move forward, and soon. Welcome to Psychopedia, Life Principles to Help You Get Unstuck with Dr. Jeffrey Shaw. In our program, we'll bring you the ideas and tools to help you move forward and enjoy the life that you want to live. Now, here is Dr. Jeffrey Shaw.
Good morning. This is Dr. Jeffrey Shaw. I'm very happy to be on this show, Psychopedia, Life Principles to Help You Get Unstuck. I've been a psychotherapist in Midtown Manhattan for the last 22 and a half years in private practice. And made a lot of progress with people, and about 90% of my patients and people I work with have made progress, so I'm very happy about that. And recently I wrote a book called Psychopedia, 181 Life Principles to Help You Be Happier and More Successful. And I'll be discussing some of these principles today. Some of them are quite general. Some of them are more specific, which will be discussed in future shows where we might have some guests, likely to have some guests. Discussing issues like relationships and work issues, medication, therapy, health. But today I'm going to concentrate on general principles, the things that some of these principles really that carry across different areas. They carry across relationships, careers, and other matters of importance. And the first thing I'd like to say is if I do give some examples from my work, you know, everything is confidential in therapy, so nobody's name will be mentioned, enough will not be mentioned to identify anybody. So, be sure of that. And I understand people can do phone calls if they have questions, and even emails, which I can possibly take later on in the show, or if necessary, in the next show. Anyway, cognitive therapy is something that was developed in the last 20 to 30 years, and it's quite efficient compared to traditional therapy, where people talked about their feelings, and usually progress was very, very slow, sometimes not at all. Therapists made a lot of money with this, but really people didn't make that much progress. And cognitive therapy involves changing one's thoughts, sometimes called cognitive restructuring, so that they feel better. You know, a good example, you know, might be if your boss says something to you like you made a mistake, if you feel like I never do anything right, even as I give that example, I have a little pit in my stomach, but if I feel like or say to myself something different, I might feel quite better. For example, he's in a bad mood today, but most of the time this job is pretty okay or pretty good. I would probably feel quite differently. Another example I like to use is someone that I worked with took a course, and she was very unhappy with the course, even though it only cost $29 or $39. And I asked her what she thought about that. And she said, well, I'm a teacher also, and I really don't like to waste money. My father taught me not to waste money, and I feel, you know, pretty bad about this course. So I said, well, is there any other way to think about this? This is the cognitive restructuring. Is there any other way to think about this where you won't feel so bad? She said, well, not all courses are this bad. And then I said, so what are you going to do next? And she said, well, I think I would take another course. So that was two examples of cognitive restructuring, very, very powerful tool. In fact, a few years ago in the Wall Street Journal, an article was written about cognitive therapy, and it said that it was as effective for anxiety and depression as even the best medications in most instances. Occasionally, people do have very, very strong chemical imbalances, and they do need medication in addition to cognitive therapy. If they do, this could be helpful, and they might need it, and very often they only need it for a certain fixed time of 6 months to 12 months, And if they continue in therapy, they can really make progress, and actually new patterns can evolve, which are really physiologically a part of them, and they can make progress, and eventually within this 6 to 12 month period, get off the medication. Not always, but often. Now, what else? Well, many people who are unstuck and in therapy want to make change. And the first step in change is awareness, being aware of any problem that you have. For example, I'm a perfectionist, and maybe finding out a little bit why you're a perfectionist. Being a perfectionist could be a desire not to make any mistakes, as an example. But, you know, being aware of one's problem is really the first step. Even in AA, when people go and say they're an alcoholic, that's kind of an awareness of the problem. But that's only the beginning. It's not the total fix that's involved. The second step is moderating, which is being on top of yourself to do a new behavior. And you might have to do this for a while until it becomes a part of you. So that's important, you know, monitoring yourself. For example, if you go to the gym and you are aware you need to go to the gym, you might have to push yourself for a while to go to the gym. And then after a while, it becomes a more regular pattern and you don't have to monitor as much. Next, I'd like to talk about something which is called the Yerkes-Dodson Law. It has to do with the relationship between anxiety and performance. And last night, I was actually listening to a previous show of voiceamerica.com Empowerment Channel, and they were talking about good anxiety. And a moderate amount or a small amount of anxiety is good. It kind of stimulates you to do something. If you have too much anxiety, that's not good. It really can result in a lessening of your performance. And so if you thought of a curve looking at anxiety on one axis and performance on the other, it would be like what's called an upside-down U-curve. This is called the Yerkes-Dodson Law, saying some anxiety increases your performance, but if you get too much anxiety, this could lower your performance. So sometimes it's important to monitor your anxiety. And if you're doing something boring, you might need a cup of coffee. But if you're doing something that in and of itself creates anxiety, you may have to calm yourself down, like before an interview, get there a little bit early. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. Now, anxiety is one of the most important problems that people have in this world, especially in places like New York or other places, or in times of economic difficulties like we have now and have had for a while. And what are some of the things that contribute to anxiety? One of them is uncertainty. If we start a new job, we are uncertain. A very simple experiment concerning uncertainty has to do with, if you took everything on your desk that you kept on the left side and moved it to the right side and vice versa, you would feel a little discombobulated, and that's just a minor change. So uncertainty, like moving, even if it's a good thing, getting in a relationship and moving in with somebody, starting a new job, all of these things create some anxiety until we get used to these new behaviors or new situations. Another thing about anxiety, I call, is the tension between the now and the then. It's good to have goals, because if without goals, we're not really necessarily going anyplace and growing. So a goal is a good thing to have. It sets a certain direction for our activities and our thoughts. But after we set a goal, we should think about next steps and kind of put our head down and just move ahead and do the next thing. If we're thinking about the final outcome all the time, like how am I going to do in this course, how am I going to do in this job interview, rather than concentrating on the tasks of the course itself or the job interview, we're going to have more anxiety. Okay, speaking of progress and goals, very often psychologists think about what's called the goal orientation. They say, what are your goals? And it is important and good to have goals, but very often we can have goals, and goals kind of can, quote, slip between the cracks. We don't really follow them up, and maybe nothing gets done. So what I like people to do is, if they can't follow through with their goals, to do something which I call the time orientation, which is setting aside a certain time every week to do something. That's actually how I wrote my book. I set aside an hour and a half each Saturday and an hour on Sunday to work on the book. And after having these ideas and these principles written down for several years, I was able to write the book in about 4 months. So a time orientation, setting aside a certain time to do something, is very important. Okay, what else? There's something called the breakthrough effect. If we're having trouble doing something, maybe we have to, at the end of a day, do about 10 or 15 minutes of that task, and then the next time we come to it, it'll be much easier. We've broken through the resistance and worked on it. So these are some things about working through anxiety, making progress, that are very important. Okay, I think we might be coming to our first break soon, but I'll tell you some things that I will be talking about next. Things about happiness, or other things about making progress, doing things right, discipline, consistency, the power of inertia, which is a little related to things I've spoken about already, and some other important principles that are general, which carry across different areas and realms of one's life. But first, let's take a little break, and we'll be back in a few moments to continue our discussion.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
How do you achieve balance in your life? Is it when everything runs in perfect alignment with each other? Time, money, and life? You can keep everything in nearly perfect balance. Listen for Be Mighty with K.D. Marley, which is made up of two people, K. Mar and D. Lee. The hosts have worked with small business owners to find the best and most systematic way of tracking both time and money in order to achieve work-life balance to their advantage. The show can help you, too. Listen Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
It's time to access your magic. Tune in each week to Living in the Magic of Possibilities with your host, Glenice Hughes. Our topics cover finances, personal health, business, relationships, mediumship, and so much more. If you want to access all that is possible in your life, listen to Glenice and her expert guests who've turned the impossible into the possible. Living in the Magic of Possibilities is heard live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to Psychopedia, Life Principles to Help You Get Unstuck. To reach Dr. Jeffrey Shaw or his guest, please call us at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or you may send an email directly to jshawphd@gmail.com. Now, back to Psychopedia.
Good to be back. And we were talking about anxiety and making progress. All of these things help people to get unstuck and move ahead towards greater happiness and success. And speaking of happiness, there have been some books written recently about happiness, and I thought about many of these principles and many of these things I'm talking about for a long time. And one of the things about happiness is happiness is really something that you could think about in different realms of your life. You know, happiness with a significant other, happiness with family members, with friends, with work, with different activities like playing golf. So sometimes when I work with someone, if they say they're not happy, I might talk about these different realms of life and find out which ones are problematic and which ones might be okay. Interestingly enough, the other definition of happiness, which I really have enjoyed, is something by James Taylor, who actually had a song and an album title by the same name, which is The Secret of Happiness is Enjoying the Passage of Time. And that really applies to my own life, where I've done some mathematical things in the past, teaching math and also doing psychology for the last 20 to 25 years. And I've enjoyed it. And almost every day, time passes, you know, pretty quickly. And I think that's a good indication of happiness. Okay, now, as far as goals, getting back to goals, sometimes we set certain goals, like we want a new job, and we don't always get. There was a song written by the Rolling Stones, which was actually, I believe, the number one song when Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon in 1969, and many people do know this song. You can't always get what you want, but you get what you need. Sometimes this happens. When I finished my master's degree, I was thinking of working in psychology as a social worker, and I almost got a job, but it didn't quite work out, and I ended up going back for my PhD, which really was a better choice. And very often in looking for a job, people set certain goals, and they don't get exactly what they want. They get something that's a little bit of a modification, and they get what they need, and what they need might be better than what they initially wanted. So that's kind of an important principle to keep in mind. Another thing that's important is it's never too late to do a lot of things. I've had some people who in their 50s have changed careers. I had one woman in her 60s who got a master's degree and then in her 70s began a radio talk show. We've probably heard about Grandma Moses, who at age 76 began painting, and I think she did that until she died at around 101. So it's never too late to do things, and a cousin of mine who lived to be 92 used to say to me something which I think is a great saying and a great way to live: do as much as you can, as long as you can. And she died at age 92, but believe it or not, at age 68, she moved to Florida. Between 68 and 92, she really had quite a life, and even went to the gym the day before she died. So quite an inspiring person. Another thing that's important is to have discipline and consistency. I was working with a young man who told me that some days at work he felt like he could really do really, really well, and other days he felt kind of down and depressed and maybe was at a 45 out of 100 as opposed to a 90 or a 95 on the days when he felt good. And I said to him, why don't you try over the next week on these days that you feel like you're only at a 45 or so to do just as well as if you were at a 90 or a 95. And he said he would try that. And when he came in the next week, I was a little nervous because sometimes these experiments I feel are a little bit contrived. And I said, so how did you do? And they said, I did really, really well. I didn't quite get to a 90 or a 95, but I probably got to an 80 or an 85. So basically, if we're kind of in a bad mood and we can kind of push ahead and get beyond that mood can change and we can be more consistent and productive and probably disciplined. So all of that is quite important. Once again, I said earlier that sometimes we have to monitor things even if we are aware of certain changes. And the reason for that is inertia is a powerful force. Some people, in analyzing friendships, I realize there's not much that they really have in common with a friend or much that they like about a certain friend, but they're just in that friendship because they've been with that person for a long period of time. The power of inertia is quite strong, and really sometimes we have to fight to go against it. Here's a rather important principle, which I really enjoy using with people. Sometimes they tell me about fears or anxieties associated with doing things, like changing their job or breaking up from somebody and getting out of a certain relationship. And then I say to them, well, what feelings would you have if you don't do that? What feelings would you have if you don't leave that job that you're dissatisfied with, or you don't leave that relationship that you're dissatisfied with? And often they feel they'll be kind of depressed and feel like they're not making progress. And very often they choose to take some anxiety and make the change that's really appropriate for their growth. Another thing that we have a tendency, and maybe part of the reason for this, is in our lives, as we've grown up, some people have been, you know, questioning things we've done and saying that things may not work out. There's an expression, the devil you know is the devil is better than the devil you don't know. Not always true, okay? People often say maybe something new won't work out. And I often say to people, maybe things will work out. And if they don't, maybe things can be changed again, or you can revert back to something. So unless you're taking, you know, a very, very strong risk in doing something, it's very often good to make some progress and do that something as opposed to not. Another thing that people have problems with, and I even had problems with this when I first started as a therapist, after about 6 months, I asked my supervisor how I was doing. I felt I was doing pretty well. And actually, I think maybe I was fishing for a compliment. And he said to me, it's too soon to tell. And he was right. And very often we try to make conclusions about things, and it's too soon to tell. And I often say to people, we'll see. It's too soon to tell. Let's not evaluate just yet. Okay. Another thing that's important is trying to move ahead and without too many excuses for avoiding moving ahead. Some people think about a new job and they think, you know, maybe this is not going to work out because of this, that, the other thing. You know, they're really thinking of all the negative things before they even know very much about the job. They have too many excuses, and they really should evaluate this possible new job more before they, you know, make a decision and seeing if the excuses they have are really valid excuses or just maybe resistance to moving ahead. Another thing that people sometimes have is black and white thinking. One woman I was working with when she was thinking about getting a divorce from her husband was that she said, the problem is all the men out there are either very interesting and have no money, or they're boring and rich. And I said, well, why don't you kind of do some dating and see about that? And she did find a lot of shades of gray. So the more you experience things, it's not always the case, but often there are shades of gray as opposed to black and white thinking. The next thing I'd like to talk about is mistakes. Sometimes we make mistakes, and actually Johnny Carson was brilliant at this. If he made a mistake by telling a bad joke, he would make a joke about telling that bad joke, which was funnier than the original joke. I used to teach math classes and get really difficult things correct, but sometimes simple things I would get incorrect, make simple arithmetic mistakes, and it used to bother me quite a bit. And then after a while, I said, let me be a little more frivolous about this. And I told people, if I had been a baseball player, I would have hit a home run and tripped on the way to the dugout. And people would laugh at that, and I would continue as opposed to feeling really bad about the mistake. What else? Okay. Forewarned is forearmed is an interesting expression, an interesting concept. If people know about something, and I've done research on this on stressful life events, if people are aware of something happening, like that they might get fired because of layoffs that are coming up in the company, they can handle the stress a little better. It's better to kind of know beforehand, as opposed to be blindsided by things. Research has shown this, including some of my own. And next we have extremes. Sometimes people are extreme as far as being workaholics, and in this case, an appropriate move for someone who's extreme in one way is to move towards the middle. Some psychologists have told people if you're extreme in one direction, go to the other direction, but I think that's just replacing one mistake with the other. If somebody is a very, very hard worker, maybe they need to work less, but maybe move towards the middle. I think we're getting to the point of maybe having another break, and what we will be talking about next is a little bit more about anxiety and preparation and short and long run expectations, and I think this might be a good time for another break, and we'll be back soon.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
Every one of us confronts challenges that rock our world to the core, making us confused and disoriented, not knowing which way is up. On The Mother Rising, host Margaret Jacobson will nourish that spark that enlivens. You will be both empowered and inspired to create the changes leading you on your path to your own true freedom. Discover your worth and what you are capable of. Tune into The Mother Rising every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
What makes you a success? Is it your business or career? Is it your family and social life? How do you achieve the next level in your success? Tune in to Infinite Success Radio with host Rachel O'Brien Eddy. Rachel and her amazing guests are here to encourage, inspire, and empower you to take control of your destiny and achieve the level of success you were born to reach. How do ordinary people become extraordinary? Find out with Infinite Success Radio, broadcasting live every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Empowerment.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You are listening to Psychopedia, Life Principles to Help You Get Unstuck. To reach Dr. Jeffrey Shaw or his guest, please call us at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or you may send an email directly to jshawphd@gmail.com. Now, back to Psychopedia.
Good to be back. And one of the principles I'd like to talk about next is one of my favorites. It really applied to me in around 1977 when I first was teaching at Baruch College. And the principle is, don't let anxiety rule the day. At Baruch College, they often reviewed you to see how you were doing, observed you, and they told you they would give you at least 24 hours notice before being observed. So I taught a class on Friday around noon, and Wednesday night someone called me and said I would be observed. And of course, this is the first time I was teaching, although I had done a lot of tutoring and done well with that. And I got quite nervous. And then I said to myself, one, not let anxiety rule the day. If I'm a bad teacher, let me be a bad teacher because I'm a bad teacher, as opposed to my being a good teacher and I was just anxious. And so that reduced my anxiety. I also said, this is the first time I'm teaching, so if I'm going to be anxious, maybe I'm allowed to be a little bit anxious. So it actually turned out that I gave a really, really good class, and the person who reviewed me, he, very nice guy, said to me afterwards, have you taught before? And I said, no, I hadn't. And he said, oh, that's surprising. I thought you had. So I didn't let anxiety rule the day, and I did very well. But if I hadn't done well, at least it wouldn't be because of anxiety. You know, letting anxiety rule the day really doesn't even give you a chance at being successful. So that's a really important principle and concept that I've tried to live with and tried to instill in people that I work with who are anxious about certain things. Next, there's a cute little expression called, it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, which means it's good to prepare. Maybe it's a little bit like forewarned is forearmed, but actually this is really taking some action before the last possible moment. You know, we don't just brush our teeth when we have, you know, terrible problems in our mouth. We should do it on a regular basis. And even some people, when they prepare for classes, they wait till the last possible moment. Sometimes it's okay because that motivates them to do things quickly and well and efficiently. Sometimes it's too late. There was one student that I had at City College who ended up getting something like a 6 on a final exam out of 100. And he just was very anxious about statistics, which I was teaching, and he waited too long. And I said to him, I think you can do better. And the next time I taught the class, I said, I want you to take it again. I'm going to give you an incomplete, but I want you to come to every class, do every homework. And he did that, and I think he got a C+ or a B-. So, you know, waiting too long sometimes can be a problem. For some people it could be okay, but it's better to be a little bit prepared. And I guess Noah was right to build the ark before it rained. Another principle that's important is it's to be successful, you need to have perspiration as well as inspiration. It's not only an idea about something, but really carrying out the efforts to do that. I think somebody said about Whitney Houston, she was, you know, a brilliant singer, but she also, you know, worked very hard. So working very hard as well as having some inspiration and desire to do something is important as well. The next principle is what you can do in the short run, you can't necessarily do in the long run. And I've worked with people, sometimes lawyers, who are, you know, very stressed out and really have very difficult jobs and have to put in a lot of hours. You know, I say to them, you know, maybe you could do this for a month or two, but maybe you need some times where things are not so stressful. So, you know, you can possibly work 60, 70 hours a week in the short run, but not in the long run. And the short run and long run might be defined differently for different times, but just because you can do something, you know, for a certain period of time, 80, 70 or 80 hours a week, doesn't mean you can continue to do that. Okay, going along with this, in the most advanced cultures, I've been told, they work hard and they play hard. And to me, what this means is that you really need time to take off from work. When I was a graduate student, I used to work every day. I used to study every day. And it turned out that when I did this, usually around the middle of the week, I would have a lull and be rather unproductive. So I decided that I was going to work on Saturdays for about half a day, take the rest of Saturday off, take Sunday off, and then pick up again on Monday. And I was much happier, much more successful, much more productive. If it was crunch time at the end of the semester, maybe one weekend, I would work the whole weekend, but never more than one weekend. We need our times to recover, reinvigorate ourselves, and do some play. It's important. Another important thing is resistance. Psychologists or traditional psychologists often talk about resistance, and they say, you know, what is causing you to resist something? Sometimes we don't really understand the resistance until we do the resistant behavior. I had this with exercising. I even talked about this with one or two therapists, that I felt like I couldn't exercise more than two or three times a week. There was something just preventing me from doing it, and even with the help of a couple of good therapists, I couldn't figure out what it was. Finally, I decided I'm going to do this behavior that I'm resisting, go to the gym four or five times a week, no matter what, push myself through the resistance, and after about 2 weeks, I felt okay. And I said to myself, gee, I'm not so dainty. I used the word dainty. And then I realized that's a word my mother would use, and she was overprotective and thought I would get hurt, and it wasn't true. Of course, if you exercise, you have to be careful, and usually it's good to exercise different muscles on successive days, but the fear that I had was some sort of resistance that I wasn't aware of until I actually did the resisted behavior. Okay. An interesting concept is if we're doing something that's unpleasant, like paperwork, sometimes having somebody else there with you is often the case. A psychologist in the early 1950s named Solomon Ash, who was Stanley Milgram's advisor, who did these studies on obedience, said this, he studied affiliation, that people often, when they're under stress, like to be with others, although it's not true for everybody. I found it for myself that when I used to do paperwork in my early days, somebody helped me, and as soon as she left and I had a little more paperwork to do, I felt my anxiety level go up. So sometimes if you're doing something that's anxiety provoking, having somebody else there is helpful. Another important principle is not comparing yourself to others, which people actually do listen to when I give them that advice, because you might be comparing yourself to somebody and only see the tip of the iceberg. You see somebody looks great when you're walking down the street and I wish I looked like that, and you could feel bad about yourself. You really don't know that other person. He could stutter, he could have some sort of disease, his mother could have cancer. You really don't know. And sometimes even if he or she is doing well now, things could change for that person in a month or so. So comparing yourself to yourself over time is really much better than comparing yourself to others. Okay, I'm wondering if we're ready for another break. I think we might be. And if we are, let's get ready for that. And I'll continue when we get back and finish up this show with some additional principles.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Talk Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear. Host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio, because shift happens. You have the power within to achieve anything, be it wealth, balance in your life, getting over your fears and roadblocks, and creating a positive impact on the world. Let Darby Mack show you how on the Powerful, Passionate, Prosperous Woman Show. Darby will bring you the tools and tips that you need to make it all happen with engaging guests and topics that will help you make your dreams come true. The Powerful, Passionate, Prosperous Woman Show is heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time on Voice America Empowerment.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You are listening to Psychopedia, Life Principles to Help You Get Unstuck. To reach Dr. Jeffrey Shaw or his guest, please call us at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or you may send an email directly to jshawphd@gmail.com. Now, back to Psychopedia.
Okay, we're back, and with some additional principles that I hope you found the ones we've talked about so far to be helpful. And We have some more. And again, these are very general. They cover different realms and areas of your life. And that's why I chose to talk about them in this first show. I did a study once that involved, it's actually on my website, which is called www.drjeffreyshaw.com. And it's 14 characteristics of people who are stuck and unhappy as opposed to those who are happy and growing. And I did some correlations with these different 14 characteristics and got correlations in the range of 0.3 and 0.4 for being less anxious, less depressed, happier, and feeling like one's moving ahead in life for all of these 14 principles. And I broke them down into some graduate students, undergraduates, males and females. And there was one exception for one of the principles. For males, getting appropriate help when you need it was one of the 14 characteristics. And the correlation was only 0.1, very small for males. And the reason for that, now this was done about 20 years ago, so maybe things have changed now. But males are less likely to get help when they need it than females. So that's probably the reason for that. But it was an interesting finding. But getting appropriate help when you need it is important in becoming happier and more successful. Going to a therapist, going to a good friend. There could be different, you know, places where you can get social support and problem-solving help. But it is important to get help when you need it. Okay, if you do have a goal and you're moving ahead, another one of these 14 principles is getting back on track quickly. You know, somebody is trying to exercise and they don't do it for a few days because they're ill. They should not wait a few weeks unless they're really, really sick. Get back on track quickly. That's important. Another principle that I think I actually skipped that was on my earlier list is if you have something simple to do, try to do it right away as opposed to, you know, putting it off. This happened to me in graduate school. There was a very accomplished professor who I asked if he could do me a favor around 10:30 in the morning, and he said he would, and I ran into him again at around noon. And he said he had done what I had asked him, and I was kind of shocked because in academia, things don't get done very quickly. And I said to him, I was surprised you did that so quickly. And he said, if I don't do this something simple quickly, I have two things to do. Remember to do it and do it. And maybe there's even a third aspect here. The thing grates on you that you haven't done it. So I've always tried to do things, unless there were really important other things that is simple to do them quickly and get them over with so that they are not, you know, still on my mind and also that I still have to remember to do them. Another principle of moving ahead and growing is the willingness to try new behaviors. Some people are really stuck on old behaviors, but if they're willing to try new things, that's important. And this has to do with failure. Failure is really a part of growing. I think Andrew Carnegie wrote about this. And I think Ulysses S. Grant said, if at first you don't succeed, try again. He didn't say try again. He said try again. One economics course, and I didn't take much economics in college, said if you have a good credit system, is it good if every case is good? And the answer was no. You're probably being too selective and having some failures is good. Thinking of a job where you have no failures actually is probably a very boring job. When Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, they asked him how he made the telephone. He said, well, not only can I tell you how I made the telephone, I can tell you 99 ways not to make the telephone. So he had a lot of failures before getting success. So, you know, continue ahead despite failure and not quitting is really important. Another thing that's important in life is joy. Sometimes people make decisions about, should I have a child? I was working with someone and she and her husband were deciding whether to have a child, and she was giving me the positives and the negatives. You know, and I told her, well, you're leaving one thing out. When you have a child and the child grows up, there'll be moments of joy, things you'll remember about when they first went to school, when they graduated from school, things of that sort, which is very important. So having joy in one's life is a very important thing. And, you know, keeping that in mind as far as making decisions is an important attribute of making decisions. And speaking of making decisions, you know, some psychologists often tell people, why don't you make a list of the positives and the negatives? And that could be an interesting and helpful concept, but maybe that's not the whole story. I had a couple who were deciding whether to live in one area or another, and they made a list of the pluses of one area versus the other, and there were about 10 different criteria that they decided were important. And 9 of them favored one area, and the 10th favored the second area. So I said, I guess this is really an easy decision. You're going with that first area where, you know, 9 out of the 10 criteria are better. And they said, no, the 10th, which was the overall environment, kind of carries the day. So sometimes one thing can carry the day, and it's not a matter of just counting your pluses and minuses. Another good technique at doing something that you might have some resistance doing is doing it every other day, like exercising or looking for a new job. I've told people, if you didn't do it yesterday, you have to do it today, which means you're going to be doing it at least every other day. Or if they're doing something like drinking too much, avoiding doing that every other day. This is a rather very capable and successful method of not feeling oppressed by certain behaviors, but still making progress, because you don't have to do something every day, so you're not oppressed by it, but you're still doing it at least every other day, so you're making progress. Now, I talked about joy. Joy in life, very important. But also, music is very important. I'm not that much of a reader of Shakespeare. I've read some things, seen some plays, but Twelfth Night, I believe, as its first line says, if music be the food of love, play on. And I think, you know, having music as part of your life, Woody Allen has so much music in so many of his movies. Many other good movies have music in them. I've played 2 or 3 instruments in my life, and music has really been, you know, a very important part of my life. In fact, you know, one car that I had, I kept bringing it in because there was something wrong with the CD player. And I was told, this is the only problem you have with this car. I said, isn't that one of the most important parts of the car? It provides the music. It's really important. There's another principle, which is learn to walk, then pursue your dream. Okay? Take your small steps, and there's a book called, actually, I think they wrote this book twice. It's called The Millionaire's Mind or The Millionaire Next Door, and they said people who work very long time and take one step at a time make a lot of money. So it's basically people who win the lottery often lose the money. So it's like taking one step at a time, and all of a sudden you've made a lot of progress. Another thing that's really important in life is learning not to worry about outcomes with a very low probability. You know, maybe I'll get fired from this job just because my boss said something negative. You know, unless that negative thing is, you know, really life-threatening, I wouldn't tell people to, you know, drive at 90 miles an hour, especially if they're drinking, you know. So if the negative effects are really catastrophic, you know, then you should worry about it. But worrying about things which are quite unlikely to happen is something that should be avoided. Next, we have errors of commission and errors of omission, which is a little bit similar to one of the other principles I talked about, thinking about the feelings you have associated with doing something versus the feelings you have associated with not doing something. An era of commission would be doing the wrong thing. An era of omission would be avoiding doing something, and maybe that's a mistake, avoiding doing that thing. You know, maybe taking a class you should take, or asking someone on a date that you really would like to, but you're kind of afraid. I prefer to do errors of commission. It's better to do something and make a mistake rather than avoid doing something. Again, unless this thing that you are avoiding is kind of catastrophic, then you have to be more careful. Another thing that's important is, especially in early adulthood, having a mentor, somebody who could guide you and give you advice. So much has been written about adolescence. It's a time of uncertainty, maybe choosing a career or starting to choose a career, where to go to college, how popular you're going to be socially, which crowds to hang out with, avoiding drugs, things of that sort. But early adulthood also has a lot of challenges. There really hasn't been a lot written about that, but it's an important period of one's life, the 20s. There have been one or two books written about that, but having a mentor during that time is very important. It's the first time you have a job, perhaps, and sometimes it's like coming out of the Garden of Eden. You expect the job to be a certain way. Your boss may not be that helpful, and you know that could be very problematic. So these are some general principles, and let me kind of talk now about some of the things that I'll be talking about in more detail, you know, in the future, in future shows, and very possibly having some guests on as well to speak with you and give you some advice. One of the things that I really like, which is a very, very good concept that I learned from someone that I play tennis with, which not somebody who was a psychologist, but just shows you can learn from almost anybody, is choosing and keeping friends. Sometimes people talk to me about friends that are problematic, and I came up with the 3-point rule for evaluating friendships. And the first point is, do you enjoy being with the person? And you can give somebody either a 0, a 1, or a half. The second is, do I have respect for that person and the way they handle their life, their lifestyle? Again, 0, 1, or a half you can give that person. And the third is, are they easy to make plans with? So these three things, let me repeat them because they are important. Do you enjoy being with the person? Do you have respect for their lifestyle and the way they handle things? And are they easy to make plans with? If you add up the points that you give somebody, if it comes out to be a 3, you have a really, really good friend. Even a 2 is a good friend. 1 is borderline. Some people, when I do this exercise, they actually come up with a 0. And I say to them, you've just been friendly with that person because of inertia, and maybe you should consider ending that friendship. And very often they do and feel better about that. Okay, other things I'll be talking about in future sessions, relationship issues, work issues, as far as relationship issues, getting into relationships, being in relationships, getting out of relationships, relationships with family, work issues, therapy issues, medication issues, and other important things like addiction, nutrition, exercise, and a few more things. As far as understanding people, you know, one of the most important principles and characteristics of a person is perspective taking. People who are successful, you know, often are able to take the perspective of somebody else. I hope as a therapist I'm able to do that, that I'm not giving advice to people just based on my goals, but on what I think the goals of the person I'm working with is. And this is true for salespeople and for people at work, and that's important. Also, with respect to relationships, disputes of fact are hard to resolve. If I'm doing couples therapy and people agree on what happened, we can possibly and probably work that out. But if they disagree as to the facts of the situation, very difficult to work that out. Another thing about people, there are two types of people. Someone who really tries to help you as much as possible, and then there's a person who might take 2 minutes to tell you they don't have a minute to talk to you. This was told to me by a secretary at Baruch College in the 1970s, but it is true. There are some people who will spend more time avoiding helping you. In the time they spent avoiding that, they could have helped you already. And lastly, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And I've added, even if you give it a flavor straw, and it means you, if somebody does not want to be helped and you want to help them more than they want to be helped themselves, you have a really tough road to hoe in a very difficult situation. So these are some things in relationships that we'll be discussing. And as I said, also work issues, other career issues, some addiction issues, some therapy issues. And I hope you've enjoyed this first show. I've enjoyed bringing it to you. And we will be speaking again next Tuesday at 11 Eastern Time, 8 Pacific Time, on Psychopedia, Life Principles to Help You Get Unstuck.
Thank you again for listening today. Be sure to join Dr. Shaw for another edition of Psychopedia, Life Principles to Help You Get Unstuck, next Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.